Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show from Girls Gone Strong, I have Molly Galbraith, who is just like, I hope it's not distracting. She may have an air conditioner on because it's just so hot where she is.
It's so hot in Costa Rica. That was one of the first questions that I asked was, can you hear my air conditioner?
Let's be honest,
it's not really an air conditioner. It's blowing like semi cool, you know, like right. 75 or 78 or 80 degree air on me, but it's working because it's blistering hot here, which I can't complain about. We're having a blast on our workation. To be clear, this is not a vacation. This is a workation. So yeah, down here for a couple months, my boyfriend and I hanging with John Goodman and Allison Chen of the Personal Trainer Development Center and the Naturopathic Doctor Development Center, and just getting a lot of work done and relaxing and doing a lot of learning and hanging out. And so it's a very, very good time. But yes, it's very hot.
The PTDC.
That's right.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about, at least stuff that I want to talk to you about. And I think I would be remiss, or I wouldn't be doing my journalistic duty as a random podcast hoster to talk to you about the response that you got from, I believe it was originally an Instagram photo, or maybe it was on Facebook, that you put up a bikini photo of you at the beach, probably very much like the beach that you're, a 3-minute walk from?
Something like that. We were very close when we were here previously where that picture was taken. We went home for the holidays and came back, and we're a bit farther, but yes, we're about 5 minutes from the beach.
But yeah. Think of like the movie, The Beach. That's like what the beach looks like. Okay. So, you shared this photo, with the caption, "This is my body. This is not a before picture. This is not an after picture. This just happens to be what my body looks like on a random Tuesday in December of 2015. So, wow, this was all the way back in December that you posted this.
Well, yeah, the picture was taken in December and it was posted on January 1st. Okay. I had the idea for it, and that was a funny thing. I wish I could say that I was a marketing genius who planned all of that. That would be completely untrue. I had the idea for the post walking down the beach with my boyfriend and just talking about that I wasn't really interested in taking before and after pictures anymore, and I just wanted to be super transparent and authentic that, like, this is what my body looks like. And it's what it looks like today, and it might not be what it looks like tomorrow, and it's probably not what it looked like yesterday, and that's okay. It's just, it's my body, and it's my life, and this is just how I look. And so I think that there's such a facade in the fitness industry, these expectations of what our body should look like are so absurd, and I just really wanted to do something to combat that. So I was like, yeah, we'll take a picture and put it up or whatever. And I spent the next couple weeks getting ready for our Strongest You coaching launch, which happened at the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. And so I had forgotten about the picture. And then on January 1st, I was like, oh gosh, I haven't posted that picture yet. I should post it. And so I just kind of started writing from the heart about how I was feeling and all of the scrutiny that I had endured from, my body, because I love it. I think it's wonderful. I think it's beautiful. I cherish it. I adore it. But it is not what most people think of when they think of a female fitness professional. They right. generally picture like a Jillian Michaels or a Jackie Warner or something, just, super ripped
abs. I haven't heard that name in forever. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. I heard it the other day, which is why it's top of the mind. But yeah, that's generally who people think of, is like the super lean and shredded, either figure competitor or, just someone who is just ripped. And that's not my natural body type to begin with. And then I have Hashimoto's and PCOS. So that's autoimmune thyroid disease and polycystic ovarian syndrome, plus some adrenal issues. So, I kind of battle with that. All of those conditions make it more difficult to lose body fat. And then my natural shape is just really curvy. And so I definitely don't look like your maybe normal female fitness professional. And I wanted to show that. And I wanted to talk about what it's like as a woman being judged for those things. Because truly my abilities, my knowledge, my abilities as a trainer have been judged negatively based on my body. I'm sure they've been judged positively as well. Times that I was like really lean or competing in powerlifting and super strong. And so I just really wanted to talk about that. And so I wrote this, you know, the thing that, I posted with the picture, but it just wasn't tying together. And then I was like, holy crap. Today is the first day I haven't had a New Year's resolution about changing the aesthetics of my body. It was like a light bulb went off and I was like, that's it. That's the thing, you know? So I had written all of these things, but it just wasn't really, I didn't feel like it was maybe enough of a reason for people to be like, oh yeah, that's so cool. And then I realized and I was like, okay, so I wrote it. And then I was like talking to a woman who works with me and I was like, do I just post it? And she's like, yeah, post it. And I was like, okay. So I hit post and then 1 minute in, it was like 57 likes. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I hit refresh and it's like 97 likes. And I hit refresh and it's like 140 likes. And I mean, that's a long thing to read. It's not like it's just a, you know, like, a, I mean, I'm sure some people were just liking the picture and not reading the caption. I'm not naive. But yeah, and it just like absolutely took off. And I couldn't be more excited that that was the topic that this body embracement that people really took to that really resonated with them.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about in regards to this. And there's no doubt that women in the fitness industry are, you know, judged, you know, on their body. And it's something that is, I guess, the thing that I want to talk to you about and to keep it positive is like, it's something that fitness professionals in general, but I think, you know, women get way more crap on the internet by far. I mean, the internet is just a much worse place for women just because from harassment and people's just ability to send stuff anonymously. So I can only imagine it must be a million times worse for the female fitness professional that's trying to make a name for themselves. And, you know, for people that don't necessarily understand like what's going on when it comes to like what makes a really good coach or a good trainer or whatever, all they have to really go by is like, all right, well, what's the picture on their website?
Totally. And, you know, it is partially the internet, but it's just the fact that women's bodies are up for judgment and public consumption, just period.
For sure.
You know, like we're taught at a very young age that our value and our worth is, based a lot on external factors, specifically how we look. And the funny thing is, yes, I got tons of comments from the internet, but two of the comments that have really kind of stuck with me. One was from another male fitness professional, a colleague of mine, who was at my gym, standing in my office, talking to my staff and insinuating that I was fat. And that is...
Wait, I mean, the day that you posted this? This happened?
No. That happened a couple years ago.
Okay.
It was beginning, middle of 2013. It was probably 12 to 16 months after my dad had died. I had gotten out of a 6-year relationship and I had suffered a back injury and had been dealing with chronic back pain. So I had all kinds of emotional stuff going on. There's always the Hashimoto's and the PCOS that I'm dealing with. And then I had chronic back pain to where like tying my shoes was excruciating. And so you can imagine, I wasn't able to work out as hard as I would have liked. And so my weight had gone up a bit and he was, standing in my office talking to my staff and made a joke about that insinuated that I was fat. And, shortly after that, there was a woman in my community who, it's a rumor because I didn't hear it with my own ears, but was telling women to not come train with me at my gym because they would quote unquote look like me. And so it was coming from the internet for sure.
Yeah.
You know, cause I talk about people calling me too fat, too skinny, too masculine, too whatever, all in the same week. Like that, it takes the internet for that to happen, you know, but these other things were happening as well in my real everyday life. I mean, so yeah, it's just because our bodies are up for judgment and evaluation and criticism. And, it's what we're taught is normal. And then we feel so badly about ourselves that we then turn around and often do it to other women in an effort to buoy our own self-esteem. I mean, I used to like be, you know, the biggest gossiper or crap talker of all, because I didn't like myself. And so I had to talk about someone else in order to try to make myself feel better. And now that kind of talk just makes my skin crawl. But it's a perpetuating cycle. When you don't feel good about yourself, and then you turn around and try to tear other people down to boost yourself up. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's obviously it's a societal thing. It's not something that's new. It's been going on forever. And I just we're not going to answer that question today of how to fix that or anything like
right.
that. But you got an incredible conversation going, not just through what I would consider to be like our fishbowl of the fitness industry, like the people that, you know, wouldn't have known you through Girls Gone Strong, or, you know, maybe that, you know, I don't want to call it like the, I mean, it's the group that we all like know each other kind of,
right.
We all know the coaches in our industry. It's not like the Jillian Michaels, or it's not like the other celebrity trainers. Hey, Marty, I might have a UPS package here. So can you give me 2 seconds? We'll be right back.
Yes. We'll be right back.
Okay. So it's just the UPS guy. Don't worry. It's okay. Marty is settled back down, but you know, it's always good to have a dog that is a barker. So if anyone comes to mess with you, they're going to get a black lab in their face and their grill.
Yep.
But before we kind of pause for a second, we were talking about how this like left our kind of circle of the fitness industry. And I don't know if I like this word, but it's kind of the right word. It went viral and it got picked up everywhere. Like now, like just searching for you on Google, like if you put in Molly Galbraith, like the third thing that comes up is People Magazine, people.com, is where it goes now. And, not only that, but like, everyone, like lots of celebrities picked it up and shared it. And even George Takei from Star Trek. Love
yes.
George.
Yep. That's one that I started getting texts. People were like, okay, I didn't care about the other ones, but George Takei, like now I'm jealous or whatever. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Like Sulu, and also one of the best characters and heroes before it went downhill. You know, George Takei is actually a really great advocate for social issues today. But, you know, when all that started happening, I mean, what was that like? And also, what was the most surprising, you know, person that you got to reach through this?
Yeah, so you're right. It got picked up by everyone. I mean, Huffington Post, People Magazine, Cosmopolitan, The Today Show Online, Good Morning America, MSN. Like, you know, it was just everywhere. And they were... some of them were butchering the story a bit. Some of them were pretty accurate with it. But the best part was is that they were, you know, keeping the conversation going, or getting it going, depending on if it's the kind of thing that they would normally talk about on the site. And so it was really weird. I mean, it was actually very like kept telling people it was very like nervous system intensive, right? So like we get a hit of dopamine every time we get like a notification or something on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to like refresh my feed and it'd be like four new comments every second. Like that at one point it was every second on my picture. There were four new comments. And so like I would refresh it and it would be like just now, just now, just now, just now, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 2 minute, you know, like it was insane. And so it was just, I mean, it literally it's viral. It's like watching something just like grow beyond your control. And so there were a couple things. One, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself to strike while the iron's hot. And what I mean by that is to capture the people who are coming to my page who were interested in this topic and say, hey guys, this isn't just a flash in the pan.
Exactly.
There's so much more here. You know, there is like years and years and years of work, both on, you know, through Molly Galbraith and through Girls Gone Strong that I think you guys would be super interested in. And so there was that. There was this like just deep desire to help the people that were coming. Because of course, as soon as people see Hashimoto's and PCOS, all of these women are like, oh, I have Hashimoto's. Oh, my daughter has PCOS. Help me, help me, help me. And it's just, you know, these are two diseases that women deal with that in the conventional model Generally, it's in my experience, it's just the symptoms that are treated instead of like actually getting to the root cause. In general, I don't want to like, you know, set off a giant firestorm, but that's been my experience and the experience of a lot of women who have come to me for help. And so, and there are a lot of like nutrition and lifestyle and like, you know, different kind of like stress management things that you can do to get to the, a bit more to the root of the problem and just manage it better. And so I was feeling a lot of, desire to help those people. And then, you know, of course there were all the nasty comments from people and then like these really kind comments and stuff. And so the comments in terms of like the nasty versus the kind, so Erin Brown is a woman, I don't know if you've ever had her on the show, but if you haven't, you need her on here. She is a Girls Gone Strong Advisory Board member, and she is a speaker and an author and an activist for women. And she's absolutely incredible and is a huge influencer on my own kind of like journey towards like more body embracement for myself. And also mm-hmm. really the tone of what we're doing with Girls Gone Strong now in terms of body autonomy for women. So anyway, she's super cool. And she says she had some photos that people were really, really nasty on, leaving nasty comments on about her. And she says, their words are not mine to hold on to. Mm-hmm. And not the good or the bad. That's the crazy thing. Because if you're riding this wave of like, oh my gosh, you're so gorgeous, the second someone tells you that you're fat, then it comes crashing down. So, right. And I had people say that. I had people say that I was fat, that I needed to lose 40 pounds. I mean, I'm almost 5'11", and I'm 170 pounds. Like, get serious. Like, I'm supposed to be at 130? What do you mean?
When I initially saw it happening, I'm like, oh my God, this is like awesome for Molly. Like, this is going to be great mm-hmm. for, you know, spreading an incredibly positive message. It's going to be great for spreading the word about Girls Gone Strong and what you're trying to do for people, for women that are trying to get stronger and healthier out there. And then I'm like, oh wait, this is the internet. She is like kind of opened up a floodgates right. for people to point their like shitty feelings towards her. So, you know, this is, oh, great. You know, we have a new outlet to, you know, take our
voice
negativity.
All of our, yeah, and our nastiness. And so yeah. That's the thing. I felt the best thing is I realized that this picture didn't actually have anything to do with me. It was a representation of an idea. And so, and I've had lots of therapy and I talk really openly about that. I've been in therapy for about 7 years now, which is one of the best things I've ever done for myself. Is just having someone to talk to and bounce ideas off of. And I don't have any like particular diagnosis, but it's just, it's helped me a lot to be more vulnerable. The joke actually is that, my therapy worked too well because I started going in the beginning because I struggled to be vulnerable. And now I put my entire life on the internet. And so the joke is that like the therapy worked too well. And now I'm vulnerable with the whole world. But I felt very well equipped to be the representative of that idea and to let people just heap all of their stuff onto me. And just, it literally just pretty much rolled off my back. The only comments that kind of got under my skin were people questioning my intentions. And for whatever reason, I've always been very sensitive about that because I feel like they're so good. And for someone to think that they might not be just crushes me. And so those were a little bit difficult. People were like, oh, she's just doing this for attention or whatever. And I'm like, you must be new around here. Like, I've been giving away information for free online mm-hmm. since 2005, when I actually shouldn't be. I wasn't really qualified in 2005 to give it away, but I was because I cared.
You're trying to help,
yeah. Yeah, I was trying to help. And plus I was a year into my fitness career, so I knew everything, right? I was a year into like training, so I knew everything. And so I'm like, you must be new around here. I've been doing this work for a really long time. And if I knew how to make something go viral, I promise you I would have done it well before now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the comments were not terrible. People that love me and care about me were way more upset about them than I was. Because it's like, you know, like my big sister was like, oh, no, they didn't. You know, she was getting pretty fired up about it. And there were some other people that were, you know, on there like, you don't even know her. She's great. She does this and that. So, mm-hmm. but for me, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. If someone came in with like a well thought out perspective that was like, you know, they were just being a contrarian. They're like, well, I don't understand why this and this and that. And I thought that it was worthwhile to say, hey, you know, I totally hear where you're coming from. You know, this blog post or this article might change your mind a little bit or might give you a little bit more insight into my journey than, you know, and I would do that, but I didn't really engage with anyone who was being really nasty and negative. And it was interesting too. The places where it was happening, like it would be like one feed would be pretty much all positive, like 80 to 90% positive, and then one would be like 80 to 90% negative. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was just like the first couple of people commenting were the ones who kind of set the tone for the whole feed, or if it's just those kinds of people are attracted to those kinds of sites.
Oh, but, that's such a good point to bring up, Molly. I forget where I was reading it, but I read just a colossal amount about like, not like the internet, but like how like we work as humans. And, you know, there's been studies that have shown that the tone of the responses to an article or to a post can almost always be, you know, brought back to the first two or three posts. Like the first two or three posts will always set the tone. Someone will read that and they will almost immediately agree, or they'll use that as, you know, what allows them to, you know, make their argument, or that's, that will affect their argument or what they think about the post. It's just like the first two or three things that get posted and it will be reflected in the rest of the comments. And they like even did this by making fake articles, having like fake comments in the first two.
Yeah.
And like they could do an A/B test and like show, oh, well, this one's way more negative, like this comment section, because just the first two were negative. But the same exact article
right,
on a different site started with like two or three positive ones, and the whole discussion was incredibly positive and everyone loved the article. But it was the same exact article with going to like the same population of people.
Yep. And that's what my boyfriend kept saying. He said, I think it's really colored by the first few people that are commenting. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't realize or had forgotten just the community that, like, the really uplifting, upbeat community that we've cultivated at Girls Gone Strong, because it is extremely rare for us to have someone say something nasty there. There are people who are saying, hey, like, I don't get this or I don't agree with this. But even that isn't super common. But I just forgot about like the kind of bubble, this like positivity, everybody be love each other, right, you know, bubble that I've been living in based on the communities that I created. So yeah, the comments, you know, people were like, oh, how are you handling them? And I'm like, I'm actually not really handling them because they're not about me. You know, they don't actually really have anything to do with me. The picture was, I think, about me for people that know me, but for people that don't, it had nothing to do with like me as an individual. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I felt very prepared to be that representative to handle all of the, you know, the negativity and the positivity. Because again, like people are like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Congratulations. And it's like it's amazing that it went well and I'm so excited and it did good things for Girls Gone Strong and for my personal brand and stuff, but it is already lining the bird, you know, it's already lining people's bird cages. Like that it doesn't last. Like there's so much news and so much noise and like, you know, people are always like creating new content and stuff. Like I'm yesterday's news, which is fine. But that thing going viral is only as much of an accomplishment as like what I can do with the people that it brought to my site or my page. And so there've been a couple lasting effects, you know, being able to grow my Facebook page so much and have so many people that actually care about those types of things and being able to introduce them to what I've been doing for so long has been a lasting effect. And then of course, like you said, when somebody Google searches me and like people.com shows up, that's a lasting effect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, it's like, you know, it's great. It's cool. But my point in that is that like, you know, if I let all the good comments go to my head, like, oh, I'm so amazing and I'm so awesome. And I'm, you know, like you said, like we're not Kanye West, right? Like I'm not that special. It's like I put something up and people liked it and that's amazing. And I hope that it gets more conversation going and it actually has. So Yvonne Ward, do you know Yvonne by chance?
No.
No, do you know Patrick Ward?
I do.
Yes. So Yvonne, I'll say Patrick is Yvonne's husband. So Yvonne works with us at Girls Gone Strong, and she is absolutely the most amazing human on the planet. She can do anything. The running joke is, can Yvonne do that? Of course she can, because she can do anything from, like, building things like in real life to, like, you know, graphics to, like, websites. She was a personal trainer. Her husband's an amazing coach and trainer. So she's a fantastic addition to Girls Gone Strong. But anyway, she was at the store buying fabric to make something, and she was wearing a Girls Gone Strong shirt, and this woman approached her and she said, "Is that the Girls Gone Strong that woman owns who was in that bikini picture?" Or whatever. Basically, she associated the bikini picture with Girls Gone Strong. And Yvonne's like, "Yes, it is. She actually owns Girls Gone Strong, and I work with her," or whatever. And she said, this woman was in her 60s, and she's like, "I loved what she had to say." And she said, "My friends and I have been talking about it for weeks." And so it had, like, sparked this discussion with these women, these, you know, 60-something-year-old women, talking about their bodies and their view of their bodies for, like, weeks. And so that kind of impact, I think, is really cool and incredible, because I always thought that the cattiness or, like, the body insecurities and stuff would, like, go away after, like, being a teenager or being in high school or college. And it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I was out to lunch with my grandmother about 5 years ago, and we were with a bunch of her friends who were all well-educated, you know, intelligent, kind women. They were literally talking about what the other ones were ordering for lunch. Like, "Oh, I'm such a cow. I'm going to have this today." Or, "Oh, she eats like a bird, but she can't, you know," or, "Well, she can get away with eating whatever she wants." They were literally talking about what they were eating and judging what the other ones were eating and judging their bodies. They're like 83, like, and the women at the table ranged in age from like 65 to like 85. And it was still a discussion, and like, this shit will not stop unless we stop it. Mm-hmm. So that's my rant. It won't stop unless you stop it.
Well, let's pause for a second. I'm going to try to reconnect with Molly, since for all I know, John's downloading like the Lord of the Rings trilogy or something like that. So we're going to pause for a second.
Oh, no. Can you not hear me?
I can hear you a little bit, but we're going to try to reconnect, because if there's anything that people come to the FitCast for, it's for its high quality audio.
Yeah.
Audio quality. All right. So we'll be right back. So not only did we have UPS show up at my door, then Skype decided to fuzz up a little bit, but we still have a bunch more to talk about. I probably should ask you how are you for time as we're recording?
I'm good on time. Okay. You get as much time as you need. I'm sorry, you're probably never going to have me back on, since my episode is taking so much. It can take so much editing.
Yeah, you know what? See, that's this is a great time to mention that, you know, part of the reason why I can continue to do this show every single week is because of the awesome people over at patreon.com/thefitcast. That's patreon.com/thefitcast. People over there have voted with their, you know, $1 per episode, $2 per episode. Some people are doing even crazy things like $5 per episode. We now have a little bit over 270 people from the audience that are supporting the show. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it means a lot, because when people do that, and it's funny, I've had people, I always say, email me if you ever want to email me stuff to, you know, say hi or what's up. But I mean, those are definitely the people that send me emails that let me know how they enjoy episodes, and they're the most vocal of the community. But, like, really, what people are doing with Patreon is they're saying, you know, "I think that these episodes are valuable. I think they're worth, you know, the time and the effort and the bandwidth that I'm putting in on my end to make sure that these can happen." Because, as you probably noticed, like, there's no advertising on the show. Like, there is, you know, done over 370 episodes of the show. And, you know, there was advertisers years ago, but it wasn't really a lot of money. And, at 30 years old, I have a job and a career outside this that usually takes up most of my time. So this kind of cuts into the time where I would be watching a Fast and Furious movie or potentially catching up on the new season of House of Lies, which I've been enjoying. But this is it means a lot when people go to patreon.com/thefitcast, because it literally, like, you could do it. It's $4 for four episodes per month if you do a dollar per episode. So it's that whole cup of coffee sales pitch.
Yep. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was something I was going to say is, number one, I always donate every time I'm on. Kevin doesn't really let that happen, but I just sneak around and do it anyway, because I think it's super important, like you said, to vote with your dollars and to drown out the bad noise with good noise, right? It's like people don't think a thing about buying some like super spammy, like $60, like green coffee bean supplement that's going to melt their whatever, melt their face off, melt their fat off. I don't even know what they're supposed to do. But anyway,
I think it does both.
I think it does both. But then they're like, oh, I don't really know about, you know, about supporting or donating to this. And really you are, you're voting with your dollars. You're drowning out the bad noise because there's so much bad noise. You're drowning out the bad noise with good noise and you're making a difference. You're saying, I like this information. This is important to me. And like you said, it's your time and your time is extremely valuable. And believe it or not, guys, having run Girls Gone Strong and giving away free information for 4.5 years, giving away free information on the internet is extremely expensive. It's extremely expensive. And like the FitCast, that's what, you know, Girls Gone Strong, we don't allow any advertising because we don't want what the information that we provide to be colored by the advertising dollars that we're receiving. We want people we want to create solutions or provide things for people that they can purchase. And that's what supports GGS. And I know that the FitCast is the same. You know, if you like the free stuff that Kevin's providing, then it's the right thing to do is to donate, you know, sign up for Patreon for $1, $2, whatever an episode and, you know, let him know that you like it and allow him to keep doing it and to be compensated for doing it because it's, you know, you don't ask people to do other things for free, right? So you don't have someone to do your taxes for free.
Right.
So this show I know takes a lot of time and a lot of money. And I'm grateful that you do it. And I'm grateful that you have me on. And like I said, I'll be donating as soon as I hang up. And I encourage everybody else to do the same.
And it's not one of those things where if people have like if you've been listening for the last 10 years, like I never did this show to make money to get rich and like right now we're the support is at $325 per episode right now, and then Patreon takes a cut of that, and then you know the beautiful US government takes a cut of that, so it you know it ends up skimming down a little bit. And like one of the things that I've been doing, and I apologize if this feels like an ad, like it's not, it's just you know, talking about a show, but you know, one of my favorite things that I've been able to do because of this is the proceeds of every fourth episode of the month goes to charity. Like I've been donating that money to whether it's like the ASPCA or Boston Children's Hospital or Michael J. Fox Foundation, and that's something that you know obviously is it's good to do, and you get to kind of be a part of that if you become a supporter of the show, and it's you know, it's something that I'd probably do anyway, I would hope, but you know, this way I can kind of look at it as like, all right, well, I know like the proceeds, whatever after taxes and after Patreon takes their cut, which ends up being like, you know, $270 a month or whatever, I get to donate that to an organization that I believe deserves it. So you get to help out with that stuff as well. And it's literally three clicks if you ever want to shut it off. And people have changed the amount that they donate. And like they allow you to do all that stuff. And you can use PayPal, credit card, whatever. And it just means a lot. More than like the 227 people that we have right now supporting the show, it just shows like, you know, people think that it's worth the time. It's worth the effort to put the production together. And when I get those emails of like, you know, Molly just became a patron at $1 per episode. Like that means a lot. So thank you to the 227 people that are doing that. So let's talk about, and I want to get your take on this because this is something that kind of happened a couple weeks ago. So I like you. If I love the people that are positive in this industry. Those are the people that I love having on the show because I think I, to take a step back, if you don't follow me on the internet, I did a little bit of a blog post on thefakeass.com saying like, you know, I think some of the smartest people in the industry are, you know, also the most negative. Like they're leaving such a big audience on the table, because, you know, some people just don't want to follow people that sound like they're always, you know, saying negative things or saying mm-hmm. that, you know, one part of the fitness industry are a bunch of idiots, like, you know, saying like, you know, CrossFit, you're a bunch of idiots if you use CrossFit. No, like CrossFit's like awesome. It's brought so many people to Olympic lifting. Guess what? There's bad coaches at other gyms that aren't CrossFit gyms too. It's okay. Like mm-hmm. coaching across the world, like the industry could be better. Sure. And YouTube videos have just popped up about CrossFit stuff. But my whole point with that, and unfortunately I kind of like really fumbled it because I misquoted Brian Cron. Mm-hmm. I quoted one of his tweets and I didn't go to him for feedback first because I was, you know, I was angry when I saw it. And I was using it to make a point. But, you know, I think that is something that is super vital for us as fitness professionals to look at, to not necessarily exclude a certain segment of the industry because we may disagree with them, whether it be for using the FMS or for using CrossFit or for people, you know, wanting to do some other type of lifting. Like, it's okay. Like, but even if they're doing that, like maybe we can also help those individuals as well, help share, you know, like we're in this to help people, right? Like we don't make a lot of money. Like we don't, none of us drives a nice car. Like I drive a RAV4, all right?
Mine's a 2003. Mine's a 2003.
Right. And my whole point was, you know, if your goal is really to just help people, why bring other people down? And I think, like, you know, since then I've talked to Brian about this and we have cleared the air and I've apologized and I've even made like a couple posts following up to it, like, hey, like I made a couple mistakes when I phrased this stuff and when I set up the article. But like my point kind of like still stands, like, you know, it's really disappointing to see such smart people have sometimes a negative attitude, or whether it's intentional or not, having a negative attitude with their information, or like a smart ass attitude, or like thinking, oh, I'm so much better because I know this and so many other people don't. So I was just wondering for you, and when you're creating content, does that ever go through your mind? Like, all right, how is this information going to be perceived? And I want to all the content that I have to have a certain kind of vibe or feel to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's so many things there. Number one, I've been that person. I've totally been that person who's like, ha, 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 I can't believe so-and-so does this, right?
I think we all feel like you get to that point where like, okay, now I have the information. I have more information than a bunch of other people. So I'm better than them because they're not doing it.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's an insecurity thing or, and I have no idea what happened with the Brian thing. And I like Brian. So when I'm saying this, I'm not saying like so-and-so's, you know, insecure.
Right.
But I think a bit of it, at times for some people has to do with insecurity. I think, for other people, it is, just like maybe wanting so badly or believing so badly that they have the answer that they can't possibly fathom, that like anybody else could be helping anyone. I think there's a lot of assumptions about people's intentions. And the longer I'm in the industry, I mean, I'm going on 12 years now, the more of a filter I develop for saying, hey, this person believes this and coaches this way and like subscribes to this philosophy. And this is why, because of their experience, because of the population they work with, because of the results that they've seen, you know, whatever. And I can understand how people can have two totally different, like opposing viewpoints mm-hmm. and they're not wrong. You know what I mean? They're both like correct for what they're doing. Intention matters to me a lot. Again, as long as, you know, people feel like that they're really helping people, and hopefully they are actually really helping people. I think that's really important. And the other thing is I don't really have any interest in like spending my time and energy putting negativity out into the world. And as I was saying earlier, I think I mentioned Erin Brown, who's an advisory board member for Girls Gone Strong. She colors a lot of kind of the tone and stuff of GGS, and she's all about positivity. And she's like, there's no need, like if we see something we don't like, then instead of spending time and energy focused on that, why don't we create something that we do like? So
F&A, that's what, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, create something that you do like. And so, you know, there were some articles going around one time about like why you should fat shame, like basically like why you need to fat shame people, or why, you know, fat people deserve to be shamed or whatever. And instead of writing like an article saying like so-and-so did this and they did that and they're horrible people, like that's not our jam. So instead, we wrote an article, Why Fat Shaming Doesn't Work and What You Should Do Instead. And we didn't mention who was talking about it. We didn't do anything because all that does is just drive more traffic to that anyway, right?
Right.
So we just put out the antithesis. We put out the opposite, and it was really positive. And it got you know, a lot of views, and people really, really enjoyed it. And so for us, it's like, again, it's about drowning out that bad information or the negative noise with good stuff. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we try to keep everything really positive. We try to be, you know, we don't, you know, we're not interested in calling anybody out. We, you know, provide the best, like, kind of evidence-based body positive information that we can at all times. And that's kind of our approach. I feel like it's such a waste of energy to be like, oh, I'm going to call this person out. Oh, I'm going to call that person out. And I get that some people feel like that's what they're supposed to do, that they are kind of like, you know, it's their job, or they were called to do that. And so I can understand that. But it's definitely not my jam, and I don't want to spend my time and energy, which I feel like, you know, my time is finite for sure. Energy is finite as well. I don't want to spend my time and energy doing that. I'd rather put it instead of being a critic, into being a creator.
Exactly. And, you know,
boom.
Right. And, you know, I apologize if anyone's mad at me for bringing this back up. It's just because it's like a super sore subject for me, because, you know, like we were mentioning before early in the show, you know, there's such a microscope on fitness professionals in general, men and women. And as being someone who's like, yeah, I don't have a six pack. Does that mean like I'm a bad coach? Does that mean I cannot help people get into, right, you know, the shape that they want to be into? But like, it's okay. Like I'm still, you know, I train every day. Don't worry. I post videos on Instagram, follow me. But you know, I think when Byron was like doing this stuff, like it just put like, man, this is exactly why Twitter is a terrible thing, unless you really think about what you're going to post. And this is, again, Brian and I have talked, we are super cool, and like, I apologize, and you know, we are cool with each other. But just for context for the audience, because I don't know, you may have not listened to the episode I did with Josh, but Josh Ellis, by the way, he's a fitness pros who complain that they feel,
I love Josh Ellis.
Oh, he's the best. He said, fitness pros who complain that that they feel, quote, pressure to stay in shape, you are in the wrong field. Do something else. And, you know, I think that the problem is that there's no context with a comment like that on Twitter with 140 characters, when you're basically saying, all right, well, if I'm someone that like feels like I feel pressure as a strength coach or as a personal trainer to stay in shape, that sounds like he's telling me I should leave the industry, that I should go do something else, and that I cannot be helpful for other people. And I think, you know, what we should be always doing is trying to be more inclusive. We should try to be like, that's not a bad thing, to be more inclusive in this world, like to make sure that more people can have their voices heard, that more people can feel like they can do something, like they could help other people. Like, why would you ever tell someone like who is overweight, that just really loves strength training, that really like loves helping people, that loves that interaction from day to day, but still feels like that, quote, pressure to stay in shape, that they shouldn't be doing this? Like, I think that is the incredible wrong direction. I still feel that way even after, you know, saying like, yeah, maybe I should have like reorganized this context a little bit better. But again, that's why God bless the FitCast, because I have a show where I could say that, and I can bring people on like you, Molly, that are just incredibly positive. And, you know, Brian, the door's open. Like, he can always come on the show. I invited him on if he ever wants to talk. But like, I think that's the message that we should be doing, because negative reinforcement, I don't know, you could go back the last couple thousand years, find a good example where negative reinforcement worked well. Okay. And then positive reinforcement, we've just seen it over and over again that is incredibly effective for long-term behavior change and for helping create change in general. That's why, you know, President Obama got elected. He was incredibly positive. He brought together a lot of change. I'm not a political analyst. I just like politics, all right? Before I ramble too long, Molly, say something.
I think here I'm going to stop you. And that's why I think I went from being so kind of like stuck on like, well, this is the only way to do it and being so dogmatic is because I started to realize like I'm working with humans. I'm working with human beings and not all of them want to count their oatmeal flakes and, you know what I mean? And strength train, you know, 4 days a week for, you know, this many sets and reps and this rest period and like, I think all of that's really valuable, and I am very, very glad I had that experience, and that you know that I know how to program or write programs that I feel like get women optimal results based on their goals. But at the same time, like I'm dealing with a real human being who wants to drink wine sometimes, and who might freaking love going to Zumba and shaking her groove thing, and you know who might not love strength training, and so. Was like, how can I take this person who comes to me saying, you know, here I am, here's what I do, here are my goals, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, and combine education with saying, hey, okay, well, so you hate strength training, but you do want to gain some muscle. So we're going to need to probably try to incorporate that 1 to 2 days a week, and we can keep it relatively short. And, you know, like combine this kind of education of, like, this is the best way to, you know, help you reach your goals with like what they're actually willing to do and stick to in real life. And I think that trying to, you know, who was it? Is it Alan Cosgrove that says if your client isn't getting results, it's your fault? Is it him that says that? Either way. Which is a really kind of hard, like, oh, really? If my client isn't getting results, it's my fault. And I think I believe that like 98% of the time, I think some clients just unfortunately aren't willing to make any changes or, you know, do any of the work. But I think that being able to figure out what it takes for a real human being in real life with real problems and real stresses and real preferences and real limitations to be able to change their lifestyle and their health and their body is so much of an art and a science. And I've just, you know, come to realize that, you know, there's not really a perfect way of doing anything. There's not a perfect way of eating. There's not a perfect way of training, that's going to work for every single person. And so you're gonna have to figure out, you know, what are the best practices that you know for getting people results, and then combine that with what is your client willing to do. And figure out a way to actually get them to do it consistently for the next 5, 10, or 20 years.
Why don't we just have all these answers right now?
I know, right this second, right this very second. But that's the reason that Lisa's Girls Gone Strong switched to a more habit-based approach to nutrition, for example. You know, there were years writing plans for people, and I got great results, but looking back, I feel like I was failing them a bit because, you know, once their meal plan's over, what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to eat? You know, and I was never like not for the last 7 or 8 years into really restrictive meal plans, but I still wrote meal plans, and I've, you know, realized like that is not what's going to help this person, you know, eat well and have the confidence to make their own nutrition choices for the rest of their life. And so, yeah, so it's just evolving what you've learned and realizing that there's probably no one best way, and being flexible and humble and like open to learning and open to understanding. Like one of my goals for this year is actually to travel around a bit and get to learn from other coaches at different gyms. Jen Sinclair is someone who's fantastic at that. She is like the coolest, like just, she's like, yeah, I want to learn that. Whether, you know, it's Olympic lifting, kettlebells, she just did something. She did like the long cycle gear voice sport. She just went to a gym and learned that style of kettlebell stuff. And she's just always like, yeah, I want to know that. I want to know how to do that. And she just has so many tools in her toolbox. And so that's kind of a goal of mine this year I've been working for the last couple of years. I really want to go around and sharpen my tools in my toolbox, which earlier you mentioned Perform Better. I've never been to a Perform Better.
Oh, geez, believe that?
I know. I have never been to Perform Better. Can you stand it?
Well, you're going this year, right?
Well, I don't know. Sure.
Oh, just book it. Because the thing is like, this is the opportunity.
Tell me the dates and the places.
It's like, okay, we got Orlando on June 2nd. We got, and this is the crazy thing about my life, is that it's right in front of me, because like, we're doing CFSE events on the Thursday. Uh-huh. If you want to get certified, we're going to be there on the Thursday for the pre-con stuff. And it is on June 3rd through the, would be 3rd through the 6th. For okay. Orlando.
I'm writing these down while you're talking to me. So,
Pre-con's the day before, though, so June 2nd. But for Chicago, it is June 24th to the 27th.
Okay, definitely can't do that one, which stinks because it's the one that's closest to me. Okay, Chicago. Okay.
Providence, we're going to be there July 15th to the 18th.
Oh, that is possible. Okay.
That's a good one. And the hotels are actually the cheapest in Providence. Long Beach is August 12th to the, I guess it would be 12th, 13th, and to the 14th.
Got it. August 12th.
And there you get to hang out with Ben Bruno as well, because he shows up to the Long Beach one.
Nice.
So that's a win-win.
Cool. Got it. Well, the only one that doesn't work is the one that's closest to him, the closest to me in Chicago. Nah.
Well, I would say Chicago is usually, I mean, they're all like unique, and this is the first time we're doing Orlando. I say we as like, but like, I've gone to all like the trifecta every year for the last like 4 or 5 years now for work. But these are always a blast. Like, if you're in the fitness industry, or you just like really want to like meet people in the fitness industry and get to see these talks, do the hands-on stuff, like the Perform Better summits are just unmatched in terms of just like 3 days of jam-packed presenters going across a wide range of speakers, and also like just the social experience of hanging out in the hall, getting to meet people and getting to, you know, talk to these people who you may have read or watched their stuff or listened to their stuff for years, but getting to finally like say, you know, hey, like, you know, I want to say what's up and all that stuff. And I'll probably end up giving you a free t-shirt, because I hand up free t-shirts at all those events.
Well, and actually the CFSC is actually a certification that I am very interested in getting at some point. So
nice. Well, I will say I've never really advertised that on the show here, but like, that's kind of what my life is today. It's doing those certification events, and you know, you can go check it out, certifiedfsc.com, if you want to get certified in kind of what we do at MBSC and having that cool required practical component. Like, that's the like fun stuff in this industry, is trying to find your own way to help out. And that's kind of been the best way that we found to help raise the quality level across the board of coaches out there, is to, you know, I mean, Molly, you know this, like, there's so many certifications out there, like from the NSCA or whatever, where you can just like,
and
get
they
it.
Don't require you to actually know anything, right, or be able to coach live and in person, which is so critical, because you can read, you know, you can read textbooks all day long, but until you've actually had someone in front of you that isn't falling into whatever, you know, textbook category that you've been reading about, like, you don't know what to do. You are ill-equipped until mm-hmm. you've done that. And that's one thing that I miss so, so badly, is being able to actually get my hands on people and correct them. And, you know, I love what we're doing with Strongest You Coaching, where it's all online, which is our coaching program through Girls Gone Strong. It's all online. But I absolutely 100% totally miss being able to have someone right in front of me and watch them like nail a squat for the first time, you know, or learn how to hinge or whatever. But, you know, that's something that hopefully when I'm going around and traveling and learning at some different gyms, that I can get my hands back into a little bit. But yeah, that sounds awesome. So if you had to say which Perform Better is the best one to go to, what do you think?
I think. I think maybe Providence is definitely the most attended one. Like, there's usually over 1,000 people there.
Nice. Okay. 15th through the 18th. I can probably swing that. And I've been wanting to come up to the Northeast. I've been wanting to do a tour of the Northeast. And I've been saying this for a really long time, but it hasn't worked out with my schedule. I've been wanting to do a tour of the Northeast because I feel like everything's like an hour away from each other and that everybody hangs out mm-hmm. on weekends, right? Everybody in like right. New York and in Boston and in Philadelphia, like you guys are all an hour away and you all hang out yeah. all the time, right?
And the summer's the time to do it. And I will say like the Perform Better Summits are for me these days, it's almost less about learning and it's more of a social experience just to get to see all the people that I talk to through the show or talk to. You know, through Facebook and all that, and get to go out and have a couple drinks, and you know, hopefully I don't sleep on my bathroom floor the nights of these events. But
has that happened?
It did happen 2 years ago, and you know this. You know, the audience might tune out, but you know, 2 years ago when you go out drinking with like this is. I wouldn't say go out drinking, but you know, the Providence one is when the whole staff at MBSC is down there, and after you've been. Working all day and been working super hard to put this thing together. And that's when we were first starting to talk about the CFSC was at that event. Mm-hmm. You go out, you get to do a social on Friday night, which is free beers at Perform Better for like an hour and a half. So people go to that. Then we usually head over to this place. It's not Re-Roz anymore, but it's down. It's like this club with music and stuff like that. And when Dan John starts buying you shots, you don't say no.
That's all his fault.
Yeah. So Bud Light plus shots plus Guinness plus more Guinness than shots. No. What leads to you sleeping on the cool tile of your hotel right. bathroom?
Your bathroom floor.
Yeah. Hmm. But still showing. I was there at 8 a.m. sharp. I was at my booth.
You weren't.
Yes, I was.
Oh my gosh! Did you just like reek of alcohol?
No, I took a shower and I.
It doesn't matter. It's like coming out through your pores, right? No.
Well, I don't think I did, but I just talked very slowly. I was sipping water just so I didn't throw up on people, and it was great.
Yeah. No, I'm not a big drinker, so I will come to those things, but I will be just pointing and laughing at everyone who's
Molly. I've had like maybe 8 beers in the last 6 months.
Have you?
But it's just when it was just the right place at the wrong time. Place at the right time.
I totally understand. I had my first drink. No, I've had 2 drinks since November. Or no, well, actually, I mean, 2 drinks in like the last year, but 2 in the last like 3 months is actually like, that's like a lot of drinking for me. But we were in Costa Rica and this older couple invited us back to their house to watch the sunset. And the woman's like, what do you want to drink? Wine, Sambuca, or Bailey's? And I was like, Jesus. I'm good. I'm like, I don't really drink. I'm fine. I don't really drink. And she's like, what do you want? And I was like, Bailey's, I guess. Okay. And she like badgered me into it. I got peer pressured by a 70-year-old woman named Joanne into drinking Bailey's and watching the sunset with her.
Perfect.
Yeah, but that's what memories are made of, you know? So, anyway.
Yeah, I would recommend, and this is not paid for by Chris Poirier and the awesome people at Perform Better. I just think they're incredible events, and there is really no better place to just like meet a ton of great people and learn a lot in 3 days and just really, really good stuff. But hell, I think that might be a good time to end it because we've been talking for about an hour and a half. And
we've been talking for so long, but it's been fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, you're always welcome back on the show if you ever want to come back on and talk about some stuff. And you know, maybe we'll get you on like 48 times before John Goodman's back on.
That would be perfect. Yeah, since I'm 48 times more awesome than John, that would be a good ratio, I think.
Perfect. Well, I'm sure he's not going to kick you out of the house now.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin. I appreciate it. It is always a pleasure. And I'm super grateful for the work that you do with the FitCast. I've been a fan for a very long time. So to be on here, even though this is like my, third or fourth time, it's still surreal every time. So Jesus. I appreciate you for, I still am like, who did I trick to like think that I have things to share? Like I feel like I like tricked someone, you know, it's like the ultimate imposter syndrome, right? It's like maybe Kevin won't find out that I'm, you know, whatever.
Well, anyway. I mean, now that you let me like know that, we'll just make sure you're not on again.
Oh, that would be so sad. But then I won't be able to, I would still be able to donate to you. But since I donate every time that I'm on here, then, you know, you might be missing out on that. But
that's true.
I appreciate it. And thank you for giving really, really cool, smart, awesome people and me a platform to share our information. And thanks for having me on.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, what where can people check out your stuff? Do you have anything coming up that people should keep an eye out for, like new talks or seminars, anything coming up? Like maybe sometime you'll leave the beach?
Maybe sometime. We are freaking redoing the Girls Gone Strong website. I can't even believe it.
Huge.
It's like, this is massively huge. And we've had the same website for a gazillion years and we're redoing it and it's going to be so amazing and beautiful. And it's going to be super user friendly and easy to find the information that you want. We'll have our apparel up for sale at that point too, which is really cool. We had bought some apparel and sold it at the Women's Fitness Summit and we sold out when we were there. So we'll have some apparel up. Yeah. So we've got the new website, the apparel coming. It'll be a couple months before Strongest You Coaching opens up again. We've got the Women's Fitness Summit in August. Okay.
I'm going to talk to you about that for a second because like I was giving Jen Nagar and Jill some junk about this because like you guys are putting together these awesome events, obviously directed at women, and no boys allowed. And I would appreciate either like maybe one of these events that's similar that has the inclusion of guys because we train women too, and we want to help women, or you know we would like to you know hear the other. You know, the like hear all this from the aspect of a woman and how they potentially may receive like information or coaching and stuff like that. So, I would ask like either, you know, potentially filming and then maybe selling that online or, having a like an all inclusive, like boys and girls dance where everyone gets to show up and
right, everyone gets to come.
Yeah.
We are totally open to that idea. So the Women's Fitness Summit came. It was Dr. Cassandra Forsyth, who's also a Girls Gone Strong advisory board member.
Yeah, and has a hell of a lineup.
And has more letters after her name than like I can't even.
She's a professor
like,
now.
Yeah, she's a professor. So she's Dr. Cassandra Forsyth, PhD in exercise science and nutrition, registered dietitian, certified strength and conditioning specialist, corrective exercise specialist. She's ridiculous. Author of like New Rules of Lifting, Women's Health Perfect Body Diet.
Yeah.
She wrote the Good Nutrition article for Girls Gone Strong for the Modern Woman's Guide. She's just a boss. But she was speaking at the Fitness Summit a couple of years ago, and she was like the only woman actually speaking. There were a couple other women involved in the like round table, and she's like, I'm not doing this. This is crap. This is what's been happening for the last couple of years, or the last, like, no, not last couple of years, last 6 or 7 or 8 years. She's like, I'm always the only woman. I'm going to do, you know, a women's event. Mm-hmm. And so she contacted Sinclair and Jen Sinclair and myself and asked if we would be on board, and we said definitely. And as we got closer to the event, Cass and I talked a bit more, and we decided to have Girls Gone Strong be very heavily involved. So it is Girls Gone Strong presents the Women's Fitness Summit. And yeah, our lineup was stacked last year. We had Dr. Yeah. Sue Kleiner. We had Ingrid Markham. There was Jen Comis. We had Ann Wendell, who's a physical therapist and GGS advisory board member, Dr. Brooke Kalanick, Cassandra Forsyth. I mean, we were just stacked with the smartest women. But the thing is with these events is that I'm super open to having one with men, but we also find that it's super important to have one just with women so that
totally
we can talk
helps.
About issues that women might not be comfortable talking about with men in the room. They might not feel comfortable talking about their sexual assault, which is something that was spoken about at the event. They might not feel comfortable talking about their, stress urinary incontinence, i.e. peeing their pants when they are exercising. They're just things that they're not as comfortable speaking about when we're in mixed company. And so I think having this event for just women is extremely important. However, I totally am down and feel you 100%. And we would love to have a co-ed event at some point as well, because I did that a couple years ago with Train Like a Girl 1 and Train Like a Girl 2, where it was all about women's issues. And the presenter, the lineup was male and female, but the whole thing was about women's issues. And I would say the first event was about 15% male, and the second event was about 30 or 40% male population. So there are definitely guys, and I love that there are guys who are super interested in that. So I'd love to figure out a way to serve that market as well. It just is important that we have a couple of events where women can feel totally safe and and, you know, comfortable speaking about the issues that are really important to them.
Okay. So, that makes 100% perfect.
Yes, but we have filmed
sense.
It. We have filmed it. We just haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do with it yet. So
I
as
know
soon as
guy.
We do, I'll let you know.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode. And I'm guessing the best place for people to go check your stuff out is still girlsgonestrong.com.
Yes, girlsgonestrong.com. Like us on Facebook as well. We have a huge Facebook community, super active, super positive. We are posting on there 4 to 6 times a day, tutorial videos, linking to articles, things like that. And then, of course, if you, Molly Galbraith, I'm on my own Facebook page as well, posting generally different stuff than what's on Girls Gone Strong. So, and then, you know, Twitter and Instagram and blah, 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 blah. But Facebook and websites are the main places to find us. And you'll see a new website in the coming weeks.
Awesome. Well, that is going to do it for us over here at the FitCast. If you enjoy the show and you would like to, you can jump on iTunes and submit a review on there, subscribe through there. It helps us, again, you know, get that good information closer to the top and, you know, weed out some of the, you know, more cashing in type stuff that tends to happen. And also, as we mentioned multiple times before, if you want to help support the show financially, you can go to patreon.com/thefitcast and you can start supporting the show at just $1 per episode. That gets you the shows at least a week early, if not 2 weeks early. Plus, you get the awesome bonus gender-free segments, which usually tend to go back into the world of fitness and nutrition or whatnot. And that's usually about 15 or 20 minutes just exclusively to the Patreon supporters. You get even more content if you do all that stuff. And I wasn't going to do this. I wasn't going to do this, Molly, but we actually talked about Ryan Reynolds' penis. So hot exclusive content for the Patreon people.
The most interesting part is that you were the one that brought up Ryan Reynolds' penis and not me. So just well, so everybody
you know what?
Knows.
Tony Gentilcore was there too, Molly. So it wasn't just me. At least I was with Tony.
And Kevin looking at Ryan Reynolds' penis. I mean, like, I'm just going to leave you guys with that.
Okay, I've seen two movies. Listen to this. I've seen two movies with Tony Gentilcore. One was Deadpool, which had Ryan Reynolds' penis predominantly in it while during fight scenes. And then also we saw The Watchmen, which had the giant – have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Dr. Manhattan, who's a giant blue guy who's completely naked the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's in it predominantly. So Tony and I have seen male nudity. We're 2 for 2 in full frontal
good.
Male nudity. So we got
I'll have to let the world
us.
Know. Yep.
Yeah. Go check out Tony's stuff too. He's doing really cool stuff. All right. Well, that is going to do it. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you, Molly. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.